Wisconsin Council of the Blind and Visually Impaired, Council Courier, Spring 2025. Read by Council Volunteer Sarah Warbeckis. The case for insurance coverage of vision services provided by the council. Photo: Jim Denham working with an Access Technology client. Photo: Amy Werf demonstrating use of lighting and contrast to a low vision therapy client. When someone comes to the council for any of our vision services, the care they receive is not covered by most insurance, including Medicaid and Medicare. While the council does work with providers like the Wisconsin Department of Workforce Development and the Office for the Blind and Visually Impaired on a fee-for-service basis, that covers only a small portion of the people we serve. That means the cost of vision services we provide must either be paid for by the client or absorbed by the council. While the council does not turn people away due to inability to pay, the lack of insurance coverage may discourage people with limited income from seeking out these important services. It also puts a strain on council resources. Outside of direct medical care, such as eye surgery, Medicare has rarely covered any other eye-related services since it was created almost 60 years ago. That's largely because the vision services, like those offered by the council, are considered social care rather than medical care. Medical services are those done by someone with a health care degree, such as a doctor, occupational therapist, OT, or physical therapist, PT. More and more vision service providers are becoming accredited through the Academy for Certification of Vision Rehabilitation and Educational Professionals, which requires rigorous training, but they are still not considered medical and therefore are not covered by insurance. OTs are also able to pursue vision rehabilitation certification, and they can bill insurance for the vision services they provide. But pathways for OTs and other vision services providers are just now becoming available and are not yet widespread. A strong argument can be made that vision services are much more than social and should be covered by medical insurance. Vision services are preventative care, offering long-term health benefits to people who are blind or low vision. One important example is that orientation and mobility, O&M training, helps prevent falls. According to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, CDC, Wisconsin had the highest fall death rate among older adults in the United States in 2021, and falls are one of the leading causes of non-fatal injuries for adults 65 and older. People with vision loss are especially susceptible to falls because they may have a difficulty seeing stairs and other obstacles. But many falls can be prevented through O&M training, allowing people to avoid lengthy and expensive hospital stays. Fall prevention saves insurance companies a lot of money in the long run. Vision rehabilitation also saves money for nursing homes and assisted living facilities. Around 65% of people living in these facilities have vision loss, and proper vision rehabilitation skills could help people avoid moving into these facilities earlier than necessary. Not only would this help people maintain their independence, but by reducing the number of years individuals with financial need live in a facility, it would bring about considerable Medicaid savings. Other preventative social care services are covered by Medicare and other insurances. When someone is diagnosed with diabetes, their insurance will cover a diabetes educator to teach them about nutrition, proper exercise, and how to monitor their blood sugar. Medicare will also cover the services of certain social workers who can help people find mental health and medication management services. Medicaid covers non-emergency medical transportation to help people get to their doctor's appointments if they do not have other reliable transportation options. All of these services are done by people without traditional medical degrees, and yet they are covered by insurance because they lead to better health outcomes. Vision services should be treated similarly. Coverage of vision services by public and private insurance providers will not happen overnight. First, social care needs to be recognized as legitimate health care by the medical and insurance fields. With our help, they can come to understand how the work done by vision services providers, like the council, leads to healthier lives. Concrete data showing how vision services are preventative care needs to be gathered and published. While we know through our work that O&M training leads to fewer falls and fewer resulting hospital visits, there is currently little supporting data to show policymakers. Finally, every option for potential coverage must be explored. It is unlikely that vision services will be covered by Medicare Part B, the part of Medicare that covers outpatient and preventative medical care. However, there are potential pathways to coverage under Medicare Advantage, which involves private healthcare plans. While these plans can be more restrictive in some ways, they may be a good way to bring vision services into the picture and promote coverage for our services. The Council, along with our partners at the national level, will continue to work hard to ensure everyone who is blind or low vision has access to vision services. If you have received vision services, talk with your doctor and insurance provider about the importance of those services in your life. If a loved one has received vision services, consider reaching out to your congressional representatives to tell them how these services have improved the lives of you and your loved ones. Message from Executive Director Denise Jess. Advocacy is about making change inside and outside of government. Photo of Denise Jess. The three pillars of the Council's mission are advocacy, education, and vision services. Advocacy was the reason for the Council's founding in 1952. In our earliest days, advocacy efforts primarily focused on influencing the Wisconsin State Legislature. Today, our advocacy work is broader and interplays with our two other pillars, education and vision services. We've stayed true to our roots by promoting the dignity and empowerment of people who are blind and have low vision with our state lawmakers. Focused and effective public policy work, however, goes beyond the hallways of the state capitol. We also advocate with state agencies like the Departments of Transportation, Health Services, and Workforce Development, and with the Elections Commission. State agencies are where the laws passed by the legislature are put into practice. Being a part of these conversations better ensures that implementation makes sense for those we serve. While most of our public policy work happens at the state level, we collaborate with national partners on federal issues that impact people with disabilities, particularly those who are blind and low vision. At the local level, our on-the-ground advocates seek to influence decision-making in their communities, particularly when it comes to transportation for non-drivers and pedestrian safety. These are all forms of systems advocacy. But systems advocacy isn't limited to our government interactions. We encourage private businesses to make their websites more accessible, create programming that is inclusive and welcoming for people who are blind and low vision, and we make them aware of barriers that limit access. Much of this advocacy is done through education, such as sessions on digital accessibility with other nonprofits, and working with local recreation programs, museums, and theaters to identify and reduce barriers. As anyone with vision loss knows, our lives require individual advocacy every day to navigate healthcare, transportation, grocery shopping, employment, and other daily living activities. When our vision services team is teaching life-changing skills like orientation and mobility, access technology, and daily living strategies, they are also educating clients on how to voice their concerns in meaningful ways that point out concrete and specific ways to increase access and inclusivity. Members of our newly formed advocacy discussion group also hone their skills in public, systems, and personal advocacy. You can learn more about the Council's advocacy work on our website at wcblind.org/advocacy. Promote independence with a gift to the White Cane Fund. Photo of Megan Fowle. Every year, the council distributes hundreds of free white canes to people across Wisconsin who need them. We're able to do this thanks to gifts to our White Cane Fund. Any Wisconsin resident who is blind or low vision is eligible for a new cane every 24 months. Due to rising costs from our suppliers, however, the price the council pays for these white canes has increased. Because of that hike, your gift to the White Cane Fund is even more important than ever. Your generosity allows us to continue providing free white canes that enable people with vision loss to move through their homes and communities safely and independently. When Megan Fowle first heard about the White Cane program from a friend, she thought it would be too much of a hassle to be worth it. But when she came into the council offices, a staff member helped her find the exact cane for her needs, and she was in and out in less than 10 minutes. She was then able to meet with Orientation and Mobility, O&M, specialist Brent Przenka to better understand how to use her cane effectively and safely use the crosswalks near her apartment. Brent came to my apartment and sat down with me for an hour to talk about my vision and what my mobility goals were, Megan says. He was very thorough and wasn't just going through the motions. He was genuinely interested in helping me reach my goals. Your gift to our White Cane Fund not only ensures that the council can continue to provide free white canes to anyone who needs them, but also helps support the O&M training we provide. Make your gift to the White Cane Fund today at wcblind.org/donate. Thank you. Personal advocacy is a key to positive change in your life. When people think about advocacy, their minds might jump to meetings with state legislators in Madison to discuss complex issues. But you don't have to work with lawmakers to be an advocate. Advocacy means speaking up for yourself to create positive change, whether that's at the Capitol, the pharmacy, the library, or anywhere else you go. Personal advocacy is an important skill for people who are blind or low vision to learn, and across the state every day, people are speaking up to make their communities more accessible for people with vision loss. Photo: Christine Violet standing at the top of the steps leading up to the Hillsborough Public Library. Christine Violet of Hillsborough wanted to make her community safer for people who are blind or low vision. Legally blind herself, Christine started at her local library by asking them to paint the stairs leading up to the library so that they would be more visible. She says the librarians were more than welcoming to her request. They said they had simply never thought of using high contrast paint to make the stairs easier to see. A work order was placed, and the Hillsborough City Maintenance Shop responded quickly to paint the steps. Encouraged, Christine then worked with two other businesses in town that also agreed to paint their stairs. It took a little convincing because they thought that I could just use their ramp instead, Christine says, but I didn't want to use the ramp. I want to feel safe and independent when going to these businesses. Christine spoke up to make these businesses safer, not just for herself, but for everyone else in her community. Sometimes all you need to speak up is a small push. That was the case for Joellen Grob of Madison, who was attending a service at a local church when the pastor asked people to weigh in about how accessible the service was to members. The pastor specifically asked for people with vision loss to come forward, so Joellen spoke with her pastor about how the church projected the lyrics to hymns. The words were shown on a large screen, but the font size was small, and the color contrast between the text and the background made it difficult for her to read. Joellen says the church staff had no idea that the contrast made reading the words difficult. And now they are working to find a contrast and font size that will make hymns easier to read for everyone. I don't think these changes would have been made if I had not spoken up, Jo Ellen says. Photo: Jo Ellen Grob in front of the screen on which hymns are projected. Advocacy does not have to mean working with your lawmakers to change laws. It can mean speaking up for yourself to make the world more accessible and welcoming to you and everyone around you. Often, the barriers in our communities are not there due to malice, but from a lack of awareness. By speaking up and advocating for yourself, you make the world more accessible while also helping others understand how they can be more welcoming to everyone in their community. Welcome Jen Zutter to the Council Board of Directors. Photo of Jen Zutter. The council is pleased to welcome Jen Zutter as the newest member of our board of directors. A Sun Prairie resident for over 20 years, Jen works with an interior design studio as a professional treasure hunter, finding vintage furniture and decor for client homes. Jen first connected with the council nearly 14 years ago after her daughter Mia lost her vision. With Mia now earning a master's degree, with support from a council scholarship, Jen says that joining the board is her way of giving back. Our family has been supported by the council for 14 years, Jen says. From the scholarship to classroom aids, the council helped my daughter, which in turn helped all of us. This is something that means a lot to me, and I want to do what I can to help the council further its mission of empowering the blind and low vision community. Jen says she looks forward to using what she's learned over the past 14 years to help others understand that life does not end with vision loss. We are pleased to welcome Jen to the board and are excited by what she brings to our organization. Advocacy Days return both virtually and in the Capitol in May. Photo: three folders held in front of the State Capitol building. Public policy advocacy has been a cornerstone of the Council's mission since its founding in 1952. But you don't have to be a professional advocate to be an effective voice for change. Our organization works tirelessly to lay the groundwork for progress, but to be effective, we need the help of on-the-ground advocates across the state. That's why we are proud to host our Advocacy Days on May 6th and May 28th. On Tuesday, May 6th, the Council will host a virtual session to help participants build their advocacy skills. We will provide an overview of the state budget process and discuss priority issues such as transportation, voting rights, and healthcare access. After a short presentation, participants will break out into small groups to discuss best practices when talking with legislators. Then on Wednesday, May 28th, we'll gather at the state capitol where participants will have the opportunity to meet with their representatives in the state legislature. You must attend the virtual session on May 6th to participate in the May 28th capitol visit. With state budget deliberations in full swing in May, the council has several legislative priorities that we will continue to push for. Transportation is always one of the council's top priorities, and this year is no different. Wisconsin needs more transportation options, especially in rural areas, to enable people who are blind or low vision to get to medical appointments, jobs, social gatherings, and everywhere else they need to go. Another area of focus will be ID equity. Last year, the disabilities community scored a win with the passage of Steve's Law, which allows non-drivers to use a state ID rather than a driver's license to prove state residency when using the Department of Natural Resources Go Wild website for things like buying a hunting or fishing license. The passage of Steve's Law created a doorway to allowing state ID cards to be used for identification purposes in all areas of government where a driver's license is currently required. The council will also be working with lawmakers to educate them on the importance of vision services. These services are critical lifelines to allow people to continue to live in their homes with dignity after they have lost their vision. But a shortage of certified vision services professionals and a lack of funding for these programs leaves people with vision loss without the skills they need to live independent lives. It is more important than ever to advocate on the issues that matter to you. People with vision loss and other disabilities worked tirelessly to get us to where we are now, and we owe it to them to continue their work to make the world more equitable for the next generation. If we don't speak up, we will become invisible to those with the power to make change. The lived experience of people who are blind or low vision is so valuable in advocacy. While people can provide data to illustrate how certain policies affect people with vision loss, that data can only go so far. Personal stories help show lawmakers that the issue is not abstract but very real in your life. Remember that advocacy is a process and change does not come overnight. Talking to your legislators once will probably not result in the change that you want. But your work does move the needle. And when you and your fellow grassroots advocates build relationships with your legislators, you can make a difference. It's important to remember that you are not alone in your advocacy journey. Advocacy Days not only teaches you the skills you need to create change, but also connects you with others who are fighting for a more equitable future. By creating a partnership network between the council and the dedicated on-the-ground advocates around the state, we can achieve life-changing advances in state government to help people who are blind or low vision across Wisconsin live with dignity and independence. You can register for Advocacy Days on our website at wcblind.org/events/advocacy-day or by calling the council offices at 608-255-1166. Upcoming events. Advocacy Days. On Tuesday, May 6, the council will host a virtual session to help participants build their advocacy skills. Then, on Wednesday, May 28, we'll gather at the state capitol where participants will have the opportunity to meet with their representatives in the state legislature. You must attend the May 6th session in order to participate in the May 28th Capitol visit. For registration and other information, visit wcblind.org/events/advocacy-days. Birding by ear. Learn to identify birds using senses other than sight. On Saturday, May 10th, we're teaming up once again with Southern Wisconsin Bird Alliance, formerly Madison Audubon, and Aldo Leopold Research Center to present this unique educational opportunity. Open to birders of all experience levels, with and without disabilities. Learn more and register at siwibirds.org/all-events/2025/5/10/birding-by-year. Dining in the Dark. Dining in the Dark is an experiential dinner that challenges attendees to rethink the role of vision in the dining experience. The council partners with restaurants across the state to host Dining in the Dark fundraisers. Guests are blindfolded during the multi-course meal. Dining in the Dark events are scheduled for Monday, May 19th at Brick Cider in Mount Horeb and Tuesday, September 16th at Old Sugar Distillery in Madison. The May 19th dinner is sold out. Visit wcblind.org/events/dining-in-the-dark for more information. Back page. Did you know that the Council Courier is also available in Braille and audio formats as well as on our website? To request an alternative format or update your mailing address, call us at 608-255-1166. The Council also publishes weekly e-newsletters that include features, helpful tips, advocacy information, upcoming events, and more. you can subscribe at wcblind.org/newsletter-signup. Contact us. Wisconsin Council of the Blind and Visually Impaired, 754 Williamson Street, Madison, Wisconsin, 53703. 608-255-1166. 800-783-5213. wcblind.org. info@wcblind.org. Spring 2025 Sharper Vision Store featured items. Zoom in on spring with these magnifiers. 2.5 times lighted neck magnifier. Easily perform crafts and fine tasks like sewing with this illuminated magnifier. This unit has a large 4-inch diameter lens for a big working area and a bright light to be able to see in all lighting conditions. This hands-free magnifier is great for low vision users who want to sew, knit, and more. Product number MX420. $38.50. Gooseneck lamp with 2.5 times magnifier. This adjustable magnifying desk lamp with gooseneck has an LED-lit 2.5 times glass lens with a 13.5-inch flexible gooseneck that can be adjusted up and down. You can keep the magnifying glass lit for close work at any angle while keeping both hands free. Product number LT132, $45. 5x magnifying desk lamp. This magnifying desk lamp comes with high-quality glass lens, 3 color modes, adjustable swing arm, and 10 brightness levels. The sturdy base allows you to move the lamp and lens in nearly every direction. Product number LT165, $65. 4x magnifying LED floor lamp. This helpful floor lamp offers a 4x glass magnifier with LED lighting to provide a broad, well-lit reading area. 4 LED bulbs around the perimeter of the magnifier provide a 6500K daylight bright light source. Product number LF260, $115. Silver pendant magnifier. This silver pendant comes with a 4x magnifier on a long and stylish silver chain. Great for someone on the go. Product number MX765, $18. Round magnifier on a lanyard. Perfect for shopping. The black lanyard keeps it handy without the need to dig in a purse or bag. The magnifier has LED lighting and 3x magnification. Product number MX760, $16.50. 3x Mattingly Side Magnifier. The 3x Mattingly Pocket Side Magnifier is great for keeping in your pocket or purse. It requires 3 AAA batteries, which are included. Product number MPF303, and additional strength product number MPF305, $20. 4x 2.5-inch dome magnifier. This clear acrylic dome magnifier, 2.5-inch wide lens, magnifies 4x for easy reading. People with low vision can easily rest this dome magnifier upon and slide it across their reading material, thus eliminating fatigue while reading. The dome design allows a magnified view from multiple angles. Product number MS802, $50. Compact Digital Magnifier. 3.5-inch digital magnifier supports 2x, 8x, 16x, and 25x magnification. Designed for reading assistance, helping to zoom in on text with ease, portable and ideal for a quick visual aid. Product number PCCTV16, $110. SmartLux Digital. The SmartLux Digital is a portable video magnifier that has a 5-inch LCD display, which provides 5, 7, 9, or 12 times magnification. There are also 5 viewing modes: full color, black on white, white on black, black on yellow, and yellow on black. There are 3 tactile buttons: on-off, magnification setting, and the contrast mode. Product number PCCTV1, $695. VisoLux Digital HD. The VisoLux Digital HD features a 7-inch LCD screen and allows the user to scroll side to side in higher magnification levels without moving the device. The optional VisoLux Digital HD base increases the distance away from the image area so that writing underneath is easier. The built-in HDMI and USB ports allow the user the option to transmit images directly to their computer. Item number PCCTV9, $775. VisoLux Digital XL FHD. The 12-inch screen, moving camera, and HDMI port make this CCTV versatile and functional. The device's unique dynamic line scrolling feature allows the user to scroll both horizontally and vertically when on the higher magnification levels without having to move the device. Its FHD camera actually sees more than what's shown on the screen, making reading a book or magazine easier than ever. Images can be captured and stored on a removable 8GB SD card. Product number PCCTV12, $1,650. Rechargeable Magnifier and Charging Stand. One of the key advantages of this handheld magnifier lies in its wireless charging capability, which eliminates the need to replace batteries. In addition to its rechargeable capabilities, this magnifier has 2 brightness levels to help provide the preferred level of illumination. The kit comes with the charging station, the AC cord for the charging station, and the rechargeable hand magnifier. Please specify the strength that is needed. Product number XXVISPEROKIT, $225. 2.5x Mattingly Pocket Magnifier. The 2.5x60 handheld illuminated magnifier comes with a classic cool white frame and a 5mm brilliant multi-chip LED bulb. It features an aspheric lens. Item number MLO302. Additional strengths. For 3.5x, the item number is MLO303. For 4x, item number MLO304. And for 5x, item number MLO305. $72. 3x Coil Auto Touch Magnifier. The 3x Coil AT Max Magnifier provides a larger field of view than most similarly powered magnifiers. Hold the blue area on the handle to activate the light, and it will turn off once you have released it from your grip. Item number MLP800. additional strengths for 5x, item number MLP805, and for 7x, item number MLP807, $66. 3.5x Mattingly LED 100x75mm. The Mattingly 3.5x 100x75mm stand magnifier uses 3 AA batteries and features a durable reinforced contrast blue switch. A soft cloth carrying pouch is included. Large print picture instructions and warranty included in all magnifier boxes. Battery compartments have high contrast battery directional images. Item number MLO201. For additional strengths, 4x, item number ML204. And for 5x, item number MLO205. $82.